playing tonight gets extra credit. Because it's the seventh game of the playoffs. And I am hoping, last night I spoke about Jewish unity at Princeton. So I didn't hear the first four innings. By the time I got out to my car, Baruch Hashem, the Mets were on the bay. So I'm hoping, against hope, that now, after this year, will be over. We'll hear Besoros, Tobos, Yeshuas, Venechamos, for our side. Although, of course, it's Mar Cheshvan, so it's not the greatest of months. But certainly, we are very privileged in having the greatest of Magide Shir, and I see we even have somebody who came all the way from Safyon in Israel, Margie Zvibel, to hear Rav Schefter. And the reason that she came is because she's a Ramaz graduate. So she learned Gemara in Ramaz, and therefore she appreciates this particular one. I understand that Rav Schefter is going to discuss 11 aspects of Rosh Chodesh. So let's give him the opportunity to do the discussing, and please take seats. The mechitza is not a mechitza, so you can sit there. And
upstairs.
In the Torah, in the Parshas Bereishis, the Chumash tells us that when Hashem created everything in Sheshes Mei Bereishis, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day for the purpose of V'hoyu L'yosos U'lamoadim U'liyomim U'lishanim, in order that people should determine days, years, and months. So the Talmud tells us that based on various Pesukim in Chumash, we derive the principle that the calendar that we have is a composite of a lunar and a solar calendar, that the moon is supposed to be used to determine the months, the lunar months. The sun is supposed to be used to determine the years. It's supposed to be a solar year, and you always have a discrepancy. The solar year is 11 days, roughly speaking, 11 days longer than the lunar year. So you have to always have Chodesh Iyar. Every 3-4 years, every couple of years, you have to have 13 months instead of having 12 months. What about the days? Which do you use to determine the days? So the Gemara draws a distinction between the Jewish people as opposed to the other nations of the world, that as far as the Jewish people are concerned, the moon is the Iker, and on the Jewish calendar, the day, like they always announce on the radio, the Yom Kippur and the Sabbath and the holidays always begin at nightfall. The day begins with the night, and Hayom Holech Achar Alav, the day follows the night. And as far as the Umas Olam are concerned, the halacha is just the reverse, that the Zman of every day begins really with the daytime, and Halayla Halech Achar Hayom, and the night follows the day. The institution that we have today, that many nations of the world count the days from midnight to midnight, is against the halacha. The Gemara says there is no such thing. That's not for the Jews, it's not for the non-Jews. The Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, made the sun, the moon, and the stars for the purpose of determining the Zmanim, the Yomim, the Chadoshim, and the Shanim. So as far as B'nai Yisrael are concerned, we count by the moon every day, the day always beginning with the evening time when the moon is Sholeh, and the moon is Moshe, and the Umas Olam are supposed to count with the according to the sun. And the Kochavim and the stars are supposed to determine when the beginning of Laila is. The Halacha says that when you have Tzeis HaKochavim, so that is the beginning of Laila. In our calendar, that's the beginning of the next day. The day always begins with Tzeis HaKochavim. What does this symbolize? What does this signify? The fact that there is a discrepancy between the days as far as the Jewish nation are concerned as opposed to the days of the Umas HaOlam. That we count to the moon and the nations of the world count to the sun. Their day begins with the daytime. So the commentaries point out that this perhaps indicates two things. First of all, the Torah tells us, Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people because they are mamatim atzmam, they are humble. Other nations of the world are proud and arrogant and holding themselves, and the Jewish people is like the moon. We realize that our hashpah is not, we don't have anything original. Everything we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hu asanu v'loy anachnu, we are not self-made people. We don't believe that we have accomplished anything. Anything that we have is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to us. And we recognize the fact that we are mekablim, we are recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpah. So this brings the Jewish nation to a state of humility, and the Talmud tells us that the midos that symbolize the Jewish people are Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomlich, Hasanim, and this goes together with humility. And secondly, the Talmud points out, and we recite this in the bracha that we say every month when we see the new moon, the fact that the moon first starts off with a tiny sliver, and then it gets bigger, and then it gets tiny, and then it disappears, and then it gets large again. So this is representative and symbolic of the Jewish history, that every other nation has you can draw a chart of the history of any nation, the rise and fall of the nation, Derech HaTeva. The nation starts to grow, gets bigger, 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 then it decline sets in, and it sinks and it disappears. And the Jewish nation, if you were to draw a graph of the history of the Jewish people, it would be zigzag. It would go up and down and up and down and up and down. Keseda, you have and the Torah tells us why. When the Jewish people listen to the mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they're up. And when they violate the averus, then they're down. So the history of the Jewish people is always zigzag. So the Nusach HaBracha that the Chachamim composed for the Kiddush Levana is that the Jewish people are similar to the moon in the sense Asidim Lehischadish Kamoisim. That we also go up and down and up and down, and even if we happen to be in a state of decline now, we shouldn't think that that's going to be the end of the Jewish people. We will go up again. So this is the first, before you get to any dinim at all, the Torah tells us that the Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of the month. The Torah tells us that we are supposed to have lunar months, not supposed to have October, November, December, in the middle of nowhere. Start the first of the month in the middle of the year. We are supposed to have months that are lunar months and a solar year and so on and so forth. We have a whole system. But aside from this, the institution of Rosh Chodesh being the beginning of the month, and when you write documents, you're supposed to write which day of the month it is in order to know when you got married, when you got divorced, when you sold your chametz and so on. The Torah and the Talmud and the Shulchan Aruch point out that there are 11 particular halachas that apply on Rosh Chodesh, which I'd like to run through tonight briefly. The first, of course, is the most important, which is mentioned in the Torah in Parshas Pinchas, when the Torah lists off all of the additional korbanos that were offered in the Beis Hamikdash on special occasions. Every day of the year in the Holy Temple, two sacrifices were offered. There was a Tamid Shal Shachar in the morning and a Tamid Shal Ben Abayim Korbanoi Lo late in the afternoon before the sunset. Now, Shabbosim, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodeshim, Chol HaMoed, and Yom Kippur, additional sacrifices were offered, and these are the korbanos HaMasot. So this, of course, is the most important thing that Rosh Chodesh is known for, the special hakrovas, hakarbonas of the Musaf. In addition to the hakrovas, hakarbonas of the Musaf, in Bizman Hazeh, that we don't have any holy temple, we're unable to bring karbonas, so we daven tefillos ha-Musaf. The Talmud points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, and he told the later prophets as well, that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when you don't have the holy temple, the Jewish people are told to recite the psukim of the karbanos and to speak about the karbanos, to learn the dinim of the karbanos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept that as if we had offered the karbanos. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Hosea that reads in the Shalma Farim Svasei, we should pay up for the karbanos that we are obligated to bring with lip service by reciting the dinim of the karbanos. But it's interesting, the Gemara in Sukkah, describing the celebrations that they had in the Holy Temple on Sukkot, special celebrations that were known as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So the Gemara gives you the program, how they celebrated. They were up all day and all night. They hardly slept, and they were singing and dancing, and they had jugglers, and everybody was holding drashas and Yerushalayim, and it was all 7 days of Sukkot. So the Talmud quotes the whole Braisa that describes the whole Seder HaYayim. So it's clearly stated that even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when they offered the Korbanos HaMusaf, and these to daven Musaf then too, and even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when they offered the Korban Talmud Shal Shachar and the Korban Talmud Shal Ben Abraham, they still daven Shachris then, and they daven Mincha then, and they daven Ma'ariv also. They daven four times a day on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed. And the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the Nusach of the davening was different. They didn't ask, B'sechazenu Einenu B'shuvcha L'tzim V'rachmim Hamach Z'shkenos HaLtzim. They didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebuild the Holy Temple and give us the opportunity to bring Korbanos. We should be Ola Regal and bring Korbanos. The Nusach was different. They daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should accept the Korban Tamid that was offered, that he should accept the Korban HaMusaf. But it's clear from the Talmud And the commentary is pointed out right on the side of the page in the Gemara Sukkah that the tfilos of Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and Ma'ariv were offered even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So these tfilos had an added feature to them, they had an added aspect to them over the Shalma Farms Faseinu, that now that we're unable to bring the Karbonas, so the reciting of the Psukei HaMusafim, reciting of the Dinim of the Karbonas, will be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if we had offered these Karbonas. There is an interesting question in Shulchan Aruch regarding the obligation of women to daven tfilas musaf. The Mishnah says in Brachas that women are just as obligated as men to daven. They say Kriya Shema not, but to daven, yes. So the practice usually is just the reverse. The women wake up, they say Shema, and the Torah Tziva, and Moda Ani, whatever, but they don't say Shema Nesuk. So in the Mishnah it says just the reverse. That Kriya Shema, the women are exempt from reciting. It doesn't mean that they don't have to be monotheists. They have to believe in Hashem Echad, but they don't have to state it every day. We'll take their word for it. They don't have to swear allegiance every day that Hashem Echad. But Shema Nesri, they're obligated to daven. The simple pshat is they have to daven at least the Shachris and the Mincha. Ma'ariv, said the Chafetz Chaim, chisels off a little bit. He says, if they don't want to daven Ma'ariv, so we'll give them a break. And he gives a whole explanation why. Because even the men were never really obligated initially years ago to daven Ma'ariv. There was a dispute among the Tanoim, those who composed the Tfilas HaMa'ariv, those who instituted this Nusach HaTfila, whether Ma'ariv is really obligatory, is it a chayver, is it only Rishus? So La Halacha, we pass, and if it's only Rishus, it's only optional, but it's a minig that we all recite Ma'ariv. So the women apparently never accepted this minig upon themselves. If they don't want to daven Ma'ariv, they don't have to. But really, the proper thing is that they should recite the Shmona Esrei of Shachris. They don't have to say Kriya Shema, they don't have to say the brachas before and after, but they should really say Psukah de Zimro, Bar Shamar, and Psukah de Zimro, and Ishtabach, and then they should say Shmona Esrei. That's how it says in the Shulchan. Then they should say Karbonis before that. Karbonis, the women are also mechuyev to say. That's how the Mishnah Berurah said. Women have to say Karbonis. And the Maharil even says that the women have to say Ezeo Mekayman. That part of, at least that section of Ezeo Mekayman about the Karbon Oilo, about the Karbon Tom. That's the union of Karbonis of an Ishama for so saying. The Mishnah says clearly that the women have to daven every day. They have to daven Shachris and Mincha. Why the women don't daven? So that's a problem. Why the practice is the women don't? So they give Shvera Terutz and why. But it's difficult. The Pashto says the women should daven. So the question is, though, it doesn't say explicitly what's the status of Musaf. It doesn't say yes, it doesn't say no. Do the women have to daven Musaf? So the later commentaries discussed this issue. And they came up with two reasons why they think that the women are exempt from davening Musaf, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim passed it like that. The women, if they don't want to, they don't have to daven Musaf. If they want to volunteer, it's wonderful. If they want to say Krishna with the Baruch, it's also wonderful. But if they don't want to daven Musaf, they're in such a big rush, they're so busy taking care of everything else, so the Mishnah Berurah passed it, they don't have to daven Musaf. So he gives two reasons why. One reason makes a lot of good sense, and the other reason is highly questionable. It's a little bit wild. The first reason that makes a lot of sense is the more popular one that the Nerdi Behuda writes in his commentary on Gemara Brachas and Etzlach, that really the Gemara raises a problem of why the women have to daven. After all, we have a principle that women are exempt from all the mitzvahs haseh shazman grama. Whenever you have a mitzvah that has a particular time that it has to be fulfilled in, for example, shaking a lulav, blowing shofar, sitting in sukkah, wearing tefillin, wearing tzitzis, has to be fulfilled only by yom and not by laila. So any mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, women are exempt from, whether this is a biblical mitzvah or a rabbinical mitzvah. So the Talmud raises the question, so why do women have to daven? You can't daven whenever you want. There are specific zmanim when you have to daven shachris, when you have to daven mincha. So why not label tefillah as a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, so women should be exempt? So the Talmud says, yes, that's a good point. However, on the other hand, since the whole purpose of tefillah is rachmi, means bakoshas tzarach, and we're pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should give us our needs, He should take care of all of our necessities and our luxuries and more, whatever we want, whatever we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, so that it only makes sense that we should include the women in this obligation also. So the Nerei Behuda in his Sefer on Brachas and Etzlach points out that the only davening that's rachmi is Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, where you say we have the middle brachas of the Shmona Esrei, in between the first three and the last three brachas, are all bakoshas tzarach. But when you recite the Tfilas HaMusafim, the Rishonim already point out, Tesis and other commentaries point out, that Musaf davening is not at all rachmi, there's no bakoshas tzarachim. It's purely when the Shalma forms for saying it's solely for the purpose of replacing the Hakrovos HaKarbonis. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought the Karbonis, it wasn't for replacing the Karbonis, but to daven to Hashem that he should accept the Karbonis HaMusaf. So since Musaf is not a Pchina of Rachmei, and it really should have been a mitzvah sasei shazman groma that women are exempt. So Nadav Yehuda says, so that's the way it remains. It remains that it's a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, so the women are exempt from Musaf. They don't want to daven Musaf, they don't want to say Musaf. That's the reasonable explanation that the Mishnah Brura quotes, the Chafetz Chaim quotes in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. Then, there is another sefer. Attributed to the Rosh, it's known as the Shadas Achilles of the Rosh, called the Besamim Rosh. Somebody in the 1700s claimed that he found a manuscript from several hundred years earlier. A fellow lived in Germany, and many Rabbonim gave him a Haskama because they knew his father. They didn't know who he was. And because they knew his father, so they assumed the father's a tzaddik, so the son is a tzaddik. So they gave a Haskama to this Shalos HaTshuvos, the Nerev Yehuda, and many other great giants gave Haskamas to the Sefer, and he had the wildest, bizarre things there in that Sefer. And after many years, it was assumed that the whole Sefer, from the beginning to the end, is a total forgery. So in this forgery, but he has brilliant ideas though, even if he forged it, he's not a genius. So he writes, he thinks that women are exempt from davening Musaf for a different reason. He gets a reason from outer space. He says that where did they bring the Karbonos HaMusaf from? They had to collect Machzis HaShekel. All of the men had to donate Machzis HaShekel for the purpose of purchasing Karbonos HaMusaf. And the women didn't have to give Machzis HaShekel. So if the women didn't have to give Shkolim, so they have no shaykhis with davening Musaf. So that's why women are exempt from davening Musaf. Adka. It's an ingenious einfall. If a woman wants to give Machzis HaShekel, but since she's not obligated to give Machzis HaShekel, so you can't say that the woman is obligated to daven Musaf. So later commentaries point out that according to his logic, it should come out of Chiddush Galut as follows. The Mishnah says that a katan before bar mitzvah doesn't have to give Machzis HaShekel. Only one who's a galut. But other commentaries on the Mishnah say that that's not what it means, a katan before bar mitzvah. It means a katan who's younger than the age 20. Because in the Chumash it says, Zei yitnu kol ha'over al ha'pkudim achzis ha'shekel b'shekel ha'kodesh, and it says, Ben es m'shon of Amol, from the age of 20 young. And other commentaries say, no, that machzis ha'shekel in the Chumash, that's not talking about machzis ha'shekel that you purchased karbonis ha'tzibah for. That was a machzis ha'shekel for the purpose of building the Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the machzis ha'shekel, which is a mitzvah hanoheges ledoros, that every year, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisan on, they used to collect the machzis ha'shekel for the purpose of bringing karbonis tzibur. That applies to every boy who is passed bar mitzvah and is not limited to those who are over the age of 20. So there are different minhagim. When you give them after Sashekel on Tainus Esther, on Purim, there are different minhagim. Some don't give for people under the age of 20, and some only don't give for people under the age of 13, and some even give for babies. Different minhagim what you do. So some of the commentaries point out if this logic of the Besamim Rosh is correct, that women are exempt from davening Musaf because they're exempt from Shkolim, then we should say likewise that one man who's younger than the age of 20, if he doesn't want to daven Musaf, he doesn't have to. That's a chiddush, so maybe it's so, but then it should come out, chiddush number two, that he can't be the chazan, he can't be the shlech tzibur, because whoever is not mechuyev b'davar can't be motzi the other zidei chayvason. He can't have, let's say, a boy before bar mitzvah, he can't send up to be the shlech tzibur to daven for an honor. So even if a boy is bar mitzvah but he's younger than age 20, you should say that he shouldn't be able to be the chazan for Musaf. It's not wild. Never heard of such a thing. How can it be? Or you should say that there was one opinion in the Tanoim that Kohanim didn't have to give Machzis HaShekel. One opinion, Kohanim and Leviim didn't have to give based on Musaf. So you mean to say a Kohen and a Levi doesn't have to daven Musaf, and if he wants to, he can't be the chazan to daven for Anomic? We have Kohanim and Leviim daven all the time for the Yomid, for Musaf, not only for Shabbos, Musaf also. So that's why this Besamim Rosh is not generally accepted. The reason that he gave, even if the women are exempt from giving Machzis HaShekel, but they're still obligated to participate in Hakrovas Karbonas Tzibur, and the Karbonas HaMusaf Marof, and on behalf of everybody, the men, the women, the children, on behalf of everybody. And the real reason why we assume that the women are exempt from davening Musaf is the first reason that the Nerev Yehuda gave, namely, that it's a mitzvah seser shazman groma, and it's not rachmi, so therefore they're not obligated. So this is the first and the second inyanim The two mitzvahs, the one mentioned explicitly by the Chumash, the Hakrovas HaMusafim on Rosh Chodesh, and the second is the Davening of Tfilas HaMusafim. There is a third special inyan that the Torah singles out, not in Parshas Pinchas, but in Parshas Bahaloyscha, also in Chumash Bamidbar. There was a special mitzvah of Tekiyas Chatzotzros on Rosh Chodesh, in conjunction with the offering of the Musafim, the special additional Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah requires, Oviyom Simchaschem Uvomayadechem Uvroshe Chatshechem, An Shabbosim An Yamutayvim, An Rosh Chodesh An Chalamoyt, Buskaitem Achatzotzos Alolosechem Al Zivche Shamechem, the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash have to blow trumpets, the special mitzvah they have to blow music in connection with the Hakrovas HaMusafim. What kind of an inyan is this Tekiyas Chatzotzros? So in the tour in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, the tour quotes in the name of the Tshuvas HaGoinim that the gist of the pasuk is that on Rosh Chodesh there is a Chiyuv Simcha. Not a Chiyuv Simcha mid the Rabbanon, a real Chiyuv Simcha mid the Torah. And that's what the Tekiyas Chatzotzros represents. You have to blow trumpets with musical accompaniment to the Hakrovas HaKorbanos of the Musafim as a form of the Kiyum of Mitzvah Simchas Rosh Chodesh. Is there any other way in which we demonstrate this inyan of Simcha de Araisa on Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam claims yes. The Rambam in Hilchas Tainis, he doesn't have it in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, but in Hilchas Tainis he has tucked away in a certain place. He writes that on the Gemara says that one is prohibited to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov and on Rosh Chodesh. So the Rambam says this is a biblical prohibition. It's awesome in our Torah to fast on Rosh Chodesh because Rosh Chodesh has a Chiyuv Simcha, and if one fasts, this is a bitl of the Simchas Rosh Chodesh. He's violating the mitzvah of Simcha. So in other words, he's not permitted to fast, so he has to have a Suda, he has to eat something. If he won't eat anything, he'll be fasting. He has to eat something. Does he have to have? He has to wash for bread, and he has to have basar v'yayin. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that if a person ate on Rosh Chodesh and he benches, he has to recite the Alav Yovel. But if he forgot to mention the Alav Yovel in the benching, he doesn't have to repeat the benching because he wasn't really obligated to eat bread in the first place. He could have had a cup of water, he could have had some potatoes, a piece of meat, chicken, whatever, and he didn't have to have meat either. He could have milchiks. There is an obligation to have basar v'yayin. There is an obligation to wash. It's just that it's prohibited to have a tainus. In the Shulchan Aruch, however, a minig is quoted. It's not a din d'araisa, it's not even a din d'rabbana. A very ancient minig is quoted from the days of the Talmud that the people would have a Sudas Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because Rosh Chodesh has a Chiyuv Simcha. So as a form of expressing this Simcha as Rosh Chodesh, they would have mitan minig, they would have a Suda Chashuvah. Even if one normally doesn't eat meat, he would have a fleishik meal on Rosh Chodesh. And even if one normally doesn't wash, one normally doesn't like to eat bread, but on Rosh Chodesh, the proper thing is that one should have a Suda of Basar, a Pas, and so on. But this is only a minig, this is not a real din. Is there any other form of expressing this inyan of Simchas Rosh Chodesh? So the Rambam says in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos, LaHaRambam, yes, certainly, the reciting of Hallel. The Gemara has a whole discussion in Maseches Erechin as to when Hallel is to be recited. So the Gemara says, sure, we say Hallel on all the Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, well, how come we don't say Hallel on Shabbos? The Gemara says, no, Shabbos is not called a Moed. What do you mean Shabbos is not a Moed? Shabbos has a Kedushas Hayom. So the Ramban seems to understand Shabbos has no Chiyuv Simcha. A Chiyuv Simcha is only on a Moed, on Yom Tov. Shabbos there is no Chiyuv Simcha. Then the Gemara asks, well, what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed, so why don't we recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? Because what we recite, what we call reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is really only a minhag. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Tainis that the fact that we skip two paragraphs in the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is an indication that the reciting of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. Were it Mikra Din, we would be obligated to recite the entire Hallel from the beginning to the end. And if you'd leave out one word, you wouldn't be Yotzei. So the fact that we skip two half prokim in the Pirkei HaTehillim that we recite on Hallel is a clear indication that it's only a minhag. And the Ikar HaDin, you don't have to recite Hallel. So the Gemara asks, but why? And the Gemara says that this minhag was unknown in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says that Rav was a student, Rav, Shmuel, Rav Yechon, they were all students of Rav Yehuda Anasi. While Rav traveled to Bavel, Rav's family originally came from Bavel, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rav Yehuda Anasi. And then when he went back to Bavel to establish a yeshiva and to practice his rabbinate there. So he saw the balabatim, and so he was shocked at the minhagim. He didn't know what was going on. So he came to shul one day on Rosh Chodesh and they started to say Hallel. So he thought they were Amaratzim. He thought that this was another point of Amaratzim, that they're saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. So But the Gemara says, Sova lapsukinu. He thought that he's going to have to break the news to them. Every day he told them another thing. He's doing this wrong, he's doing that wrong. So he thought he's going to have to break the good news to them that they're doing this wrong also, that they're saying halal. And then they skipped one perek, then they skipped another perek. So he realized that they themselves realized that this is not the real halal, it's only a minhag. So obviously Rav, who studied in the big yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, never heard of that minhag. Never heard of the minhag of reciting chatzi halal, as we call it, of saying the half halal on Rosh Chodesh. This is a minhag that originated in Babel by the Baal Batim, and then it spread to the rest of the world. So the Gemara asks in Erech and Daf Yud Amud Beis, why shouldn't we be obligated to recite the entire halal Nikar Adin on Rosh Chodesh, on Shabbos? We understand why not, because Shabbos is not a moed. It means that there's no chiyuv simcha. And the mechayiv, the thing that obligates one to recite halal, is the chiyuv simcha that's present on the Yamim Tov. So Shabbos has no chiyuv simcha, but Rosh Chodesh is called a moed, so why don't we recite halal? So the Gemara says no, that Rosh Chodesh is only a moed in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what do you do on Rosh Chodesh? In the Beis HaMikdash, you bring the Musaf. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what dinim do you have on Rosh Chodesh? It's mutar b'asiyas melacha. There are no other things that you have to do or you're not allowed to do on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that you have to recite Hallel outside of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, the Ramban sounds like he thinks that they had to say the entire Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. That's the mashmos of the Ramban. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that he had heard that from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zohar Rochem, many years earlier. And then around 20, 30 years later, he read this Ramban, and it hit him that the Ramban sounds like he said that. Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos, that only Halo Bigvulin, only outside of the Beis HaMikdash do we not recite Halo Nikar Adin on Rosh Chodesh. In the Beis HaMikdash, they do recite Halo. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they had to say Halo Nikar Adin because there was a Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a real full Chiyuv Simcha, but the Minho that developed in Babel by the Balabatim to recite the Chatzi Halal also stems from this. And the fact that Mitam Minog, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there's also a Chiyuv of Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. Because of the fact that the Halal is only a Minhog, the Talmud points out that you have to skip, you have to leave out part of the Halal. What is the relationship? If it's a Din, you say the entire Halal, if it's a Minhog, you have to leave out. So the Rav Soloveitchik always used to quote the Poskim who point out, the Gemara says in the end of Shabbos that one is prohibited to say Halal every day. That it's prohibited to recite Halal every single day. So the Poskim point out not only is prohibited to recite Halal every day, one is prohibited to recite Halal when he's not obligated to. When there's a Chiyuv, either a biblical Chiyuv or a rabbinical Chiyuv, to recite Halal, then you recite. When you're not obligated, then it's prohibited. I mean, you can never volunteer to say halal on a day when you're not obligated to. So the poskim say that's right. It's prohibited to say halal. But in Bavel, they volunteered a minute to say chatzi halal on Chalamoy Pesach and chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh. So whenever you want to volunteer a halal, you have to make sure that you leave out part of the halal. Because to say the entire halal on a day when one is prohibited, when one is not obligated to recite halal, this itself is a prohibition. That's why just parenthetically, there are many who are very happy about the establishment of Medinas Yisrael, and the many who celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut as a Yontif, and the many who say Halal on Yom Ha'atzmaut, but they feel that to say the entire Halal is prohibited because there's really no obligation. Others think there is an obligation, but there are many who think that there's no obligation. No takana was ever instituted, and there's no biblical obligation. So many feel, even assuming all of the first premises, they feel that Medina is a positive thing, and there's what to celebrate, and there is a yontif, and so on and so forth, but they think that to recite the entire halal is prohibited. That's a separate question. It's another question. Getting back to the original din that the Torah has, that on the Rosh Chodeshim, of the Yom Simchaschim, of the Ma'adechim, of the Rosh Chodeshim, was kaitam b'chatzotzus al olasechem al zilchei shamlechem, that on the Rosh Chodeshim, and on the Yomim Tovim, and on Chalamoy, and in the Beis HaMikdash, the Levim would blow Chatzotzos in conjunction with the Hakrovas HaKorbonis. This is what the Talmud calls Shiro, that in the Beis HaMikdash, every day of the year, when the Korbonis would be offered, the Korbonis HaTzibu would be offered, the Levim would sing a Shir Shalyom at the time the Kohanim would be pouring the wine down the special pipes on the Mizbeah. The Gemara in Brachos derives from a pasuk that Einomim Shira Elo Al Hayayin. The Shir HaLevim was only recited at the time that the Kohanim were pouring the Nisuch HaYayin. The Gemara has a dispute regarding the Shira, whether Ika Shira B'Peh or Ika Shira B'Kli. We know that every day when the Levim sang the Shira, they would sing a parak from Tehillim with a Nigin. They would say words with a Nigin, and then they would have other Levim who would be Mishorim, who would be playing the music. So the Gemara has a dispute whether the playing of the music on the instruments is Min HaTorah or it's only Midrabbanan. Should I assume Ika Shira B'Kli? That's part of the basic din menatar, that you have to play music in conjunction with the shira? Or should I say, no, ikir shira is only b'peh, to recite the Pirkei Tehillim with a beautiful nigin. And the accompaniment with the music, that's only with the rabbanon, lehidr mitzvah, so to speak, to enhance the shira b'kli. So whatever you think all year long, but on these special days of Yom Sichaschem, of Mayadechem, of Rosh HaShechem, then it was certainly... Here the Torah says that you have to have an instrument. So the whole institution of Shir B'Kli, that they had to play musical instruments at the time that they had the Shir Shalyom sung by the Levim, the mocker of the whole institution of Shir B'Kli is this pasuk in Bahaloisko. And the dispute the Gemara has is, should I say that this din is limited to these special occasions of Yamim Tovim and Rosh HaChodeshim, and all year long there was no biblical requirement for Shir B'Kli at all? Or should I say, no, Shira B'Kli was required all year long, but the special Chatzotzes were only on these occasions. All year long they didn't use Chatzotzes, they used other kelim, other instruments. And on Rosh HaChodeshim and on Yamim Tovim, they had these special trumpets in addition to all of the other instruments. They had a whole orchestra there. The Mishnah Nerechim describes how many pieces they had, the 35, 45 piece orchestra of Levim playing musical instruments and harmonizing everything together. So on these special days, Rosh HaChodeshim and Yamim Tovim, the orchestra was enhanced with the use of the chatzotzos. It's interesting, one of the early commentaries, the Mabit, a contemporary of the Beis Yosef in the 1500s in Eretz Yisrael, in Sfas, writes in his commentary on the Rambam and the Kiryas Sefer that the reciting of the Shira Bichlal, even the Shira B'Peh, was only min HaTorah, was only a biblical obligation on these special occasions, only on Rosh HaChodeshim and Yamim Tovim and Shabbos. Yom Simchas Chamadechem Rosh HaChodeshim. All year long, the reciting of Shira, the singing of Shira, is only with the Rabbanan. This is generally not accepted. The simple reading of the Talmud is clearly not so. But the obligation to recite Shira and to sing Shira all year long, to have a Shira Shalyom, were certainly biblical in nature. All year long, there was a din of Shira B'Peh. The special, what was special about these days was that on these special occasions, they had to have Chatzotzim. So one opinion in the Gemara is that this was the only time that Min HaTorah you had to have musical accompaniment at all, and the other opinions of Igmar hold that no, that all year long you have to have Shira B'Kli. On these occasions you have to enhance the orchestra, you have to have Chatzotzos in addition to the other kid. But because the parsha of Tkiyas Chatzotzos clearly has something to do with Shira, you can't deny that, you can't say that it has nothing to do with Shira. The Mabit claims that this is the source of Shira. Menatar, this is the only time you have Shira B'Peh at all. All year long, Menatar, you don't have to have any Shira at all. So even though we don't accept his thesis, we assume that all year long there was a biblical requirement to have Shira, but still, apparently the Chachamim understood from the parsha that the Shira should be unique and different on Shabbosim and Yamim Tovim and Rosh HaChodeshim from the rest of the year. So that's why they didn't recite the regular Shira. The Shir Shalyom that they sang every week on Sunday and every week on Monday and every week on Tuesday, every Monday they said the same Shir Shalyom, and every Thursday they said the same Shir Shalyom. But if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Wednesday, then they said a different Shir Shalyom. They didn't say the Wednesday Shir Shalyom. They said the Baruch Nafshi, a separate Shir Shalyom. And if Sukkot falls out on Tuesday, they said the Sukkot Dikah Shir Shalyom. They didn't say the Wednesday Shir Shalyom or the Thursday Shir Shalyom. They said the special Shir Shalyom for Yontif to replace the Shir Shalyom of the weekday. This is based on this parsha of Tiyas Chatzetzos. So the Torah says that there has to be something special about the Shira on the Yamim Tovim and on the Rosh Chodesh. It's interesting, the Minchas Chinuch points out that if you read the Gemaris in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah carefully, you will be presented with a contradiction regarding this issue of the Shir Shalyom. Did they really recite the special Yontif Dikah Shira every time they brought Karbonis on a Yontif? The Karbonis Tzibur were brought on Yontif. First they brought Oilas Tamin in the morning. One oil stomach in the morning, and the Kohanim would pour wine down the pipes on the Mizbech, and the Levim would have to sing Shir. But then they brought all of the Musafim, 11 Korbanos on Musafim, usually on Rosh Chodesh is 11, 10 oilas and 1 chatos, and when they would pour all the wine down the pipes on the Mizbech, again the Levim would sing Shir. And then after they brought the Tamash Ben Abayim, the third carbon, all day long they brought carbonus, private people with Doni carbonus. That's a different thing. A private person is obligated to bring a carbon, whatever, a chakas and asham. So you don't sing any Shira. The Levim only sing Shira when it's a carbon sibur, when it's a community carbon on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So the third carbon on a Yontif or on a Rosh Chodesh would be the Tamid Shel Ben Abayim. After the Hakrovas HaKarbon, the Kohanim would pour the special wine, Minchasim and Eskem, the special wine down the pipes on the side of the Mizbeach, and the Levim would sing the Shira. So in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah it would appear that on all the Yamim Tovim, not only did the Levim sing the special Yontif Dika Shir Shal Yom at the time the Kohanim were pouring the wine following the Musafim, they would sing the special Shir Shal Yom even after the Talmud Shal Shach and after the Talmud Shal Ben Abayim. All three sets of Nisach HaYayim. The first in the morning after the Talmud Shal Shach, the second after the Musafim, and the third after the Talmud Shal Ben Abayim, they would never say the weekday Shir Shal Yom, the Sunday, the Monday, the Tuesday. They would replace the Yontav Digi Shir Shal Yom for the regular one for Shachar and Ben Abayim. And in the Gemara, in the end of Sukkah, Rashi throws in one word. The Gemara there is talking about what Shir Shal Yom. They said that every day of Chalamoid Sukkah, what do they say on Yontav, what do they say on Chalamoid, what do they say on Shmini Atzeres. So Rashi throws in a word there. He says, what Shir Shal Yom did they say when they poured the wine for the Musafim? So Minhas Chinuch asks, why does Rashi all of a sudden say Musafim? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah seems to indicate clearly that they never said the regular the weekday Shir Shal Yom for Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Ben Abayim when it was a Yontif. They would replace the Yontif Dika Shir Shal Yom for the weekday one. So why does Rashi say at the end of Sukkah that the Gemara is discussing what the Shir Shal Yom was when they offered the Musaf? So the Minhas Chinuch gives a simple answer. He says he thinks you have to distinguish between Shabbos and Yontif on the one hand, Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh on the other hand. The Kedushas HaYom of Shabbos and Yontif permeates all day long. It has an Issa Malacha with it. So all day long is Shabbos and all day long is Yontif. So when the Halacha requires that you have to say a Shabbos Dik Yishir Shayom and a Yontif Dik Yishir Shayom, that swallows up everything. You have to say all day long a different Shir Shayom. So you don't say, let's say when Yontif falls out on a Wednesday or Rosh Chodesh falls out on a Thursday, when Yontif falls out in the middle of the week, you wouldn't say the weekday Shir Shayom. You would have to say the Yontif Dika Shir Shayom all three times, after Tamid Shal Shachar, after Musafim, and after Tamid Shal Ben Abayim. But on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, where the Kedushas HaYom is only partial, it's not a full Kedushas HaYom. We know that on Yontif you give 5 aliyahs, and on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh only give 4 aliyahs. So that's the Minhas Chinuch quotes that right. So we see that it's not as chomer, it's not as the Kedushas HaYom is clearly not as strong is on a regular Yontif. So therefore he suggests that on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, since the Iker of the Kedushas HaYom really sets in with respect to Karbonos HaMusafim, so he thinks only after the Karbonos HaMusafim were offered and they poured the wine for the Nesachim at that time, then they would replace the weekday Shir Shayom with the Rosh Chodesh Dika Shir Shayom with the Chol HaMoed Shir Shayom. But after the Talmud Shal Shach and after the Talmud Shal Ben Abayim, they treated it like a regular weekday. What was special about the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh? If it would have been a plain Thursday, they would also bring the same Talmud Shal Shach. There was no Issa Malach and no shaking of a lulav or anything. There's nothing special going on at that time. Therefore, he thinks that they said the regular weekday Shir Shal Yom at that time. The Sfasemis, the Ger Rebbe, in his commentary on the Mishnayis and Erechin, is bothered with a kasha. Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that on Rosh Hashanah we have an obligation to blow shofar. That's all. And on the Tainis Tzibur we have an obligation to blow chatzotzos. We don't have to blow shofar. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, on Rosh Hashanah, not only did they blow shofar, they blew shofar with chatzotzos together. And on the Tainis Tzibur in the Beis HaMikdash, they blew shofar with chatzotzos. How come they blew both together? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tilam, "Chatzotzos is called shofar." Are you lefnei HaMelech Hashem? Whenever you are lefnei HaMelech Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, then you have to, whenever you blow shofar, you have to blow chatzotzer with it. Whenever you blow chatzotzer, you have to blow shofar with kacha. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't apply. But in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the halacha. Then on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, since you have to blow shofar, you have to blow chatzotzah with it, and on the time of Sivu, you have to blow chatzotzah, trumpets, you have to accompany it with the shofar. And the Mishnah in Erechin quotes this pasuk from Chumash and Parshas Bahalois, that on these special occasions, the Yom Simchaschem of the Moadechem, Rosh Hashanah, in addition to all of the other musical instruments that they would play, as the Levim would be singing the Shir Shalom, they would also blow chatzotzah. And it lists off exactly how many instruments there were of a tremendously big orchestra, and it doesn't say that they blew shofar in conjunction with the chatzotz. So the Sfasamis asks, how come? What happened to the din in Rosh Hashanah? But chatzotz is called shofar, a reel of Nemelach Hashem, that whenever one is in the Beis Hamikdash, and you have to blow one, you have to blow chatzotz, then you have to blow shofar again. So al pi pashtus, I think the answer is very clear. That halacha, that you have to blow shofar with chatzotz in the Beis Hamikdash, whenever you're obligated to blow one, you have to blow the other, we know there's another, there seems to be another exception to the rule. The Mishnah tells us, the Chumash tells us, the Torah tells us, that on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, every 50th year, we have to celebrate the Shnas HaYovel. On the Yom Kippur of the Shnas HaYovel, the Torah requires that we should blow shofar, just like on Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, and we recite Malchi Zechonah Shofar to Musav. So the same was required every 50th year. Once in Ayovel. Amol in Ayovel, you have to blow shofar on Yom Kippur. In fact, some Rishonim say, Taisis claims that the fact that we blow shofar at the end of Ne'ilah, after Yom Kippur is all over, is a zecher to the fact that years ago, when we used to have the real Yovel, we used to blow real shofar, not just the Tkiyah Gdolah. We used to blow Tkiyah, Shvarim, Trua, Tkiyah, the whole works, just like on Rosh Hashanah. The whole keys with the Malchus Chana Shofar, so they used to do the same on every Yom Kippur Shoyevel. So when the Rambam quotes from the Gemaras and the Tosefta's describing how they blew Tkiyah Shofar on Yom Kippur Shoyevel, nobody ever mentions the fact that when they blew the Tkiyahs in the Beis HaMikdash, they would blow Chatzaitus in conjunction with the Shofar. It would appear that that was only on Rosh Hashanah and on a tiny Sibur. And it didn't apply of Yom Simchas and Ma'adech and Rosh Hashanah when they blew chatzotzes, they didn't have to blow shofar with it. Nor did it apply on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel when they had to blow kiyah, shofar, that they had to blow chatzotzes with it. How come? How did the Chachamim know that that pasuk in Tehillim, v'chatzah tzvos v'kol shofar harir lefnei HaMelech Hashem, is limited dafka to two cases, only Rosh Hashanah and Tainis Tzibur, and shouldn't apply to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel and to all of the other Yom Tov, Yom Simchas and Ma'adech? I think the answer must be as follows. I think the Chachamim understood that the purpose of Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Tkiyas Chatzotzes on Tainis Tzibur are identical. That's how the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Rif in the Muhammad on Rosh Hashanah. He says, when did they blow Tkiyas Chatzotzes on a Tainis Tzibur? So the Mishnah Tainis describes it. The people would daven Shmoneh Esrei, let's say Shachris, they would daven Shachris on a Tainis Tzibur. Everybody would daven a regular Shmoneh Esrei, Tefillah B'Lachash. Then the Chazan would get up and repeat the Shmoneh Esrei out loud, the Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the Chazan, in the middle of his Chazaras HaShatz, would add on six additional brachas. And the Mishnah gives you the text of the brachas with the psukim from Tehillim and from Navi that he would recite. At the conclusion of each one of those six additional brachas that the Chazan would recite in his Shmoneh Esrei, instead of having 18 brachas, that 24? That 24 brachas in the Chazaras HaShatz, instead of the 18 that all the Hamoy Nam said. At the conclusion of each one of those six additional brachas that the Chazan would recite in his Chazaras HaShatz, the Mishnah says in Tainis, the Baal Tekeh would blow Tekiyah, then he would blow Shvarim after the next bracha, then he would blow Tekiyah after the third bracha, then he would blow Tekiyah again after the next, then Shvarim and Tekiyah, Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah, Tekiyah Shvarim Tekiyah. So the purpose, obviously the purpose of these Tekiyahs is to enhance the Tefillah that the Chazan is reciting, to enhance the Tefillahs and the Bakoshas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to the prayers of the people. He should give the rain, he should cure the sickness, he should stop the epidemic or the plague or the whatever the tzara happens to be that the people are fasting about. So the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Rif in Rosh Hashanah that the same is true regarding the nature of the Tkiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that the purpose of, why did the Chachamim all of a sudden institute such a wild notion that you should blow Tkiyahs in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, in the middle of davening Shmoneh Esrei? They never instituted you should shake lulav in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. They never instituted you should eat matzah in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. This is a separate mitzvah, not a separate mitzvah, not a separate mitzvah. The Baruch Hashem, 613 mitzvahs. What do you have to shove together, all the mitzvahs, to put the Tkiyah Shofar in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei? So the Ramban explains why. It's the same as Tkiyah Chatzotzes on the Tainis Tzibur. The purpose of the Tkiyah is to enhance the Bakosha, to enhance the Tfilah. So the Ramban writes that just like he draws a parallel, just like on the time of Sibu, the purpose of the Tkiyas Chatzetzus is to enhance the Tfilas and the Bakoshas of the Chazoras Hashad, the six additional brachas that the Chazam would add on to the Shmon Esrei, the same is true on Rosh Hashanah, that the purpose of the Tkiyas Haseda Brachas was to enhance the brachas of the Shmon Esrei, the Bakosha. At the conclusion of Malchus of Hanash Arfis, we ask a Bakosha. We ask a bakosha at the end of each one of the three brachas of Malchus Chanashev. To enhance that bracha, that's called Zaoka, to scream out, to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you daven, Baruch Hashem, I make a parnos. So I daven the Baruch Hu, give me more parnos. So that's a tefillah. What happens if a person doesn't have a parnos? What happens if a person is really sick? I say refrain, I'm not sick. What if I'm really sick and I'm not really say refrain? That's called a Zaoka. That's a little more than stamat tefillah. He's really crying out. So the idea of Tkiyas Shofar, Tkiyas Chatzotis, is that the tefillah should take on the form of a Zaoka, that it should be a tefillah sheyesh bo b'chiyas. The Torah says that in the Chumash, Rosh Hashanah is described as Yom Teruah Yielochem, or Metargemino, the Gemara says in the Targum Unkel, it writes on the phrase Yom Teruah Yom Yabova. And what does the word Yabova mean? To cry. The Gemara quotes a pasuk about the Sisra's mother, about the Yabei. Sisra's mother was sobbing, she was crying. So what's the idea of crying? What do you have to cry in the middle of davening? Because the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaZohav in Bava Metziah that there are two types of tefillahs. There's a tefillah sheyesh b'bechiyah and a tefillah sheein b'bechiyah. And the pasuk tells us that miyom shechara beis hamikdash, when the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't listen to prayers like he used to years ago. Gam ki ezak v'ashavei asah sam tefillasi lefanam. Even if I cry out, I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I cry out, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't listen to the tefillahs, listen to the prayers in the same way that he used to bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, because the Beis HaMikdash is not only the Mokom HaKrovos HaKorbanos, it's basically Beis Tefillah Yikori. That's the official office for receiving the prayer. That's why when we daven, we have to face the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is Beis Tefillah. You really should all daven in the Beis HaMikdash, next to the Kaisel HaMaravi. And second best is to face the Beis HaMikdash when we daven. So the Gemara says, Bamed Var Mamurim, when do we say that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, the Navi tells us in Megillah Secha, saw some tefillosi that the prayers are not accepted, that's only from Oymik Pnimiyas Halev, and he davened with such a heart and such feeling that he's carried away to cry. So this enhances the tefillah and elevates it to a higher level of tefillah. So that the Gemara says, even Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, that's a higher level of tefillah. So this is accepted in the same way that it was always accepted, even Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam. It's a different type, it's a different level of tefillah. So the Gemara says that that's the idea, the Ramban points out, that's what the Gemara says, that's the idea of the Kiyas Chatzotzos on the Tainis Sibur, and Kiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, in conjunction with the Malchus, the Chayin Shofar, and the six brachas that the Chazan adds, and the Chazaras Hashatz and the Tainis Tzibur, to enhance the tefillah, to elevate these bakoshes to the level of Zaoka, that we should stand a better chance of having these prayers answered. So the Gemara says, in the Beis HaMikdosh, which is the Beis tefillah, that's the official place where you're supposed to daven, and even those who don't daven in the Beis HaMikdosh, those who daven in New York, have to face the Beis HaMikdosh when they daven. Shlomo HaMelech said when he built the Beis HaMikdash, everybody should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu facing this Beis HaMikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash is the Iker Mokom Tefillah. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, "Bachatzeres is kol shofar hariu lefnei HaMelech Hashem." When you're davening in the Beis HaMikdash, and you are enhancing your tefillah either with shofar on Rosh Hashanah or with chatzeres on the Tainis Sibur, since the Beis HaMikdash is the Beis HaTefillah with the Hei HaYediyah, the Beis Tefillah, so you should doubly enhance your tefillah. Whenever you have chatzotza, throw in a shofar as well. Whenever they have a shofar, throw in a chatzotza as well. But on the Yom Simchaschem of Mayadech Marosha Hatshechem, the idea of Eskaitem B'chatzotza is not to enhance the Zaoka. There's no Zaoka on Yom Tiv. There's no Zaoka on Rosh Hashanah, on a Chalamoid or Amash Chodesh. The Torah quoted from the Goinim that that's the musical accompaniment of the Shiras for the purpose of Simcha. It's not that we're crying in the middle of davening. It has nothing to do with the enhancing tefillah. That's a kiyum of simcha. So the simcha has to be with pleasant sounding melody. So what do you mean? You're going to tell me a din in the Beis HaMikdash that whenever you play music with the chatzot, you have to throw in a shofar. But the shofar is going to ruin the melody. It's going to ruin the musical sound. So that's the answer to this chasem, is this kasha. You can't require of me a din that since they're blowing chatzotzes in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Chodesh or on Chol HaMoed or on Yom Tov, you have to blow also shofar. No, that din only applies when the blowing of the chatzotzes or the blowing of the shofar is for the purpose of elevating the tefillah to a level of za'okah. But here, the blowing of the chatzetza on a Rosh Chodesh or on the Yom Kippur, Chol HaMoed, has nothing to do with Zok and nothing to do with Tefillah. It's a form of Simcha, Simchas Yantiv. So the music sounds nice without the shofar. You're going to blow shofar, you're going to ruin the music. So you don't blow shofar. And the same answer is true regarding Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. The Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, the Talmud tells us that the Chachamim instituted that you should blow shofar Yom Kippur Shel Yovel in connection with Malchus HaKoinesh Shofar. But the Gemara says also that the Iker Tkiya Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is not really to elevate the tefillah to a level of Zohar. Tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is to announce that we're letting free the slaves. The din is that an Eved Ivri goes free after working for 6 years. He's Yotze B'Sheish after the 6 years are up. He's Yotze B'Ashvi's Yotze L'Chav Shechina. Or if Yovel comes first, then he's Yotze B'Yovel. So the Gemara says that the Simon, the Shiluach HaGodin, was the Tkiyas Kiyah Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. And from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, the owner, the Odon of the Eved, has no right to make the Eved work for him. But on the other hand, the Eved has to hang around. He doesn't go free yet. And then when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you blow the Shofar, that's the Simon, the Shiluach HaBonim. The Gemara understands that that is the Ikir Din of Tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. It has nothing to do with Tefillah. That's why the Rambam writes also it's a different din. The Rambam writes that on Rosh Hashanah it's a mitzvah l'shmoa kol shofar. And on Yom Kippur he says it's a mitzvah l'tkaya. On Rosh Hashanah it's a mitzvah l'shmoa. It means that it's a mitzvah of Tefillah. On Yom Kippur Shel Yovel it's a mitzvah to make noise, like l'havdol, l'alafal, l'havdol, the goyim. On New Year's Eve they're tooting horns. What are they tooting horns? They're making noise. What are they making noise? Tefillah. Has nothing to do with Tefillah. They're making noise. So our mitzvah to blow Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel is more similar to what they're doing on New Year's Eve than it is to Rosh Hashanah. When we blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, that's to enhance the tefillah. When we blow Shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, the Rambam writes that's not Shmiyah. That's a mitzvah of Tkiyah, to make noise. Some commentaries point out on the Rambam that it would appear that on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you wouldn't be able to have the institution of a Baal Tekeah that he'll blow and be moitzi everybody. Shemeh kind of wouldn't help, because let's say on Purim, but it's a mitzvah to clap on and to make noise. So can you say Shemeh Koina? Say, let the Gabbai wind his grogger, and everybody will be yotze with Shemeh Koina. We're listening to the noise that the Gabbai is making, so everybody's yotze. So the Pesach can point out, Abnezer points out that you can't say that. That's why. You can't say that. You don't say Shemeh Koina. Whenever the mitzvah is to make noise, you have to make your own noise. You can't follow Zach on his noise. He is Shefer on Rosh Hashanah, not a mitzvah to make noise. It's a chelik of the davening. So just like you say Shemeh Koin on davening, so you say Shemeh Koin on the Shofar. But I am Kippur Shel Yovel, the Mefarshim point out, the Rambam says it's not a mitzvah Shmiyah. It's not a chelik of the davening. It's a mitzvah to make noise. There's a simen that the Yavodim are going free. So the Pashtus is that you cannot require on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, even in the Beis HaMikdash, that you should blow chatzotzes in conjunction with the Shofar. The chatzotzes don't blend in with the Shofar. The only time we require both is when the purpose of the Shofar or the chatzotzer is to enhance the tefillah. So then in the base tefillah, Yikari, in the base HaMikdash, which is the base HaTefillah, you have to have both together. There is another aspect to this pasuk, the skaitem l'chatzot tzal olasechem azil teishalmechem, the last phrase in the pasuk, miniskaitem l'fnei Hashem olakech. It's another inyan. The tkiyas chatzot that was done on Rosh Chodeshim and on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed in conjunction with the karbonas that were offered in the base HaMikdash was for the purpose of Simcha. That's what the Torah quoted from the Gaonim. That's the source of the Chi of Simcha D'Oraisa on Rosh Chodesh. That the Rambam writes it's an Issa D'Oraisa to have a Tainus on Rosh Chodesh because Chi of Simcha. But then the last phrase in the Pasuk tells us a completely different obligation. V'nizkartam l'fnei Hashem l'kechem. That at the time that you blow the Chatzotzes, we should be remembered by Hashem. But this Pasuk is taken to be the source of the prayer of Yalav Yovah. Say Yalav Yovah V'Yagiv Yehwah. The mocker of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Zichronos on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, on Yom Tov is that possible? V'nizkartem l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. On these special occasions when the Torah requires we should blow the Chatzotzes, v'nizkartem, we should be remembered. To this man as well, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we're not blowing the Chatzotzes. So what we do is we daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say the Yalav Yovah. We can't do the first half of the Pasuk, but we want you to fulfill your second half of the Pasuk of Nizkartem l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem. The Gemara has a din that if a person davens on Rosh Chodesh and on Chol HaMoed and he forgets Yalav Yav, he has to daven over again. What kind of a din is that he has to daven over? What, he wasn't yotze the davening? He said the nusach of the davening. That's where Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, it doesn't mean that it's not yotze the davening. The davening, he is yotze. He didn't fulfill his chiyuv in his karten. So we allow him, not we require of him that he wasn't yotze shachris, he wasn't yotze mincha, he has to daven over. We allow him to repeat the Shemona Esrei, and we don't consider it a bracha levatola. We allow him to volunteer at Tfilas Nedavah to daven. He really was yotze shachris, he was yotze mincha, to forget Yal HaViyadah. But we recommend to him that he should volunteer at Tfilas Nedavah. Sinish shachris, sinish musa, sinish mincha. It doesn't have a name to it, it's Tfilas Nedavah. We recommend that he should volunteer another Shemona Esrei in order to chaparai in this mitzvah in his karten, that he should be yotze the mitzvah of mentioning v'nizacher, zichaneinu, figdaneinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us. Apparently not. The Takanas Chachamim was, in the stomach in our Torah, he can't. If you say Yal HaViyav alone, you yotze v'niz karten. The Takanas Chachamim was that you should mention this v'niz karten in the context of the tefillah. Right, the Gemara says Ma'ariv is a separate reason, not because in Dovah, the Gemara says Zan Chalamoyid, if a person forgets Yal HaViyav to Ma'ariv, he has to daven over, not because he wasn't Yotze Ma'ariv, he was Yotze the Tfilah, he didn't have this mitzvah in his karta. But Amish Chodesh, if he forgets Yal HaViyav to Ma'ariv, Amish Chodesh, Mar Brachas gives a special reason why he doesn't have to repeat this. He gives a very strange reason because since the Bezdin has to declare the day as Rosh Chodesh, Bezdin cannot be convened at night, Bezdin will only convene the daytime tomorrow morning. True, when they would declare the day as Rosh Chodesh, the entire day would become Rosh Chodesh retroactively beginning from last night. When they declared today is Rosh Chodesh, and today means today, the whole day, all 24 hours, beginning of the day to the end of the day. But since at night it wasn't yet declared as Rosh Chodesh, it's going to become Rosh Chodesh tomorrow retroactively, Gemara says, therefore, if a person forgot Yal HaViyav, he doesn't have to daven over. What exactly that means is a question of why should that make any difference? But it is going to become Rosh Chodesh retroactively. There's a whole discussion in the commentaries on the Rosh Chodesh. That he was Rosh Chodesh. Bezdin declaring, right? The Gemara has such an opinion. The Gemara has such an opinion. The Gemara rejects it. The question is, the first opinion make what sense? Right? That's what Rav Soloveitchik listed off this as one of his many kashas, and he gave a whole different interpretation of that Gemara. What does it mean? Zmana Zed, there is no Bezdin. Zmana Zed, the Luach is printed already years in advance. Even birthday of Rosh Chodesh. We know when Rosh Chodesh is. What kind of a reason is that? The Bezdin didn't declare. Bezdin is not going to declare tomorrow either. Soloveitchik gave a whole interpretation of that. Tenth aspect of Rosh Chodesh appears in the Gemara and appears to be a real din, not a biblical din, but a rabbinical din. Gemara says that Rosh Chodesh is no problem of bitul malach. Normally the people have to go to work. They're in a rush, have to go to work. Rosh Chodesh, Gemara says, there's no problem of bitul malach if the chazan sings a little later in the davening, nish gefelach in the morning, because the people are not going to go to work anyway. So Rashi and Taisus comment on the Gemara. What do you mean they're not going to go to work? Everybody goes to work. So Rashi and Taisus say, but the women don't go to work. The Rosh Chodesh is a yomtov for women. The women don't go to work on Rosh Chodesh. What does that mean exactly, Rosh Chodesh is a yomtov for women? So the commentary, the Rishonim give different explanations. So Rashi and Taisus quote in the tour, quote the most famous interpretation of what Rashi quotes from the Pirkei de Reb Lezer and Perek Mem Dalet, that when the Jewish people decided that they wanted to worship the Egel, right after Maimon HaSinai, they all decided they wanted to worship the Egel. So this was the idea of the men. The women didn't want to get involved. And all the men were volunteering gold to make this Egel Azov. The women refused to give their gold, not because they wanted the gold for themselves, they didn't want to donate. They would have donated it when they made the Beis HaMikdash, they donated the gold. But an Egel? Avodah Zarah, they didn't want to have anything to do with the Avodah Zarah. So as a reward for the women, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a yontif that doesn't apply to the men. And that's why the Meforshim say on Shulchan Aruch, what if a man wants to volunteer to meet his chassidus, not to do malacha, and he doesn't want to, wants to take off from his work every Rosh Chodesh. And some shuls instituted that. That every Rosh Chodesh, they have special shurim all day long. Bar Bei Rav Dechad Yom, they have to take off. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes Machranim that absolutely there's no kima mitzvah whatsoever. This is only a mitzvah for the women that the men can't observe. They say when it comes to shaking a lulav or sitting in sukkah that the women are exempt, but if they want to volunteer, yeah, the Torah says a mitzvah, yes. But if the men want to volunteer not to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, and many Achranim, some Achranim say that it's a midas chassidus, and others say no, it's arois givorkin, because this was only a special bonus that was given to the women because of the fact that they didn't want to get involved in the chetuah. Tur quotes other Rishonim early sources who present the story a little differently. It's not that at the occasion of the Chet Egel, because the women didn't want to get involved, that HaKadosh Baruch at that time instituted from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Pirkei de Reb Lezer says. Days of Moshe Rabbeinu on, Chodesh was designated as a yomtov for women that they shouldn't do malacha. And the Mishnah Berurah discussed, what does it mean? It says it's only a minig. What does it mean? The women who have the minig have it, the women don't want to have the minig don't have it. Or no, the women are supposed to observe this minig. Mishnah Berurah quotes the earliest sources. He says all of the early sources say that the women are supposed to have this. It's not that if they want to, they can have the minig. He recommends that all the women should observe such a minig. Within the details of the minig, he says that already depends what they want. They don't want to do any work at all on Rosh Chodesh, or they just don't want to do heavy work. They don't want to do the laundry. They don't want to do whatever, the wallpapering, or the painting of the house, whatever. The cooking, whatever you do on Yom Tov, that you're allowed to do on Rosh Chodesh also. To do heavy work, that the minig is that. So the Torah quotes another version of this story. Not that Rosh Chodesh was designated as a Yom Tov for the women at the time of the Chet Ha'Egel, as a reward for the fact that they didn't participate. It presents another early source that has everything just the reverse. That originally, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated the Yamim Tov, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, these were instituted Mechuvan Keneged, the three of us, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The angels came to Avraham's home. It says Matzah Sofa Bayochel. See that this Avraham Avinu was baking matzahs. Because he baked matzahs, the Ribono Shel Olam made us a Yom Tov of Pesach. And if his Akedas Yitzchak had something to do with Shavuos, because on Shavuos, on the occasion of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was blowing a shofar, and that shofar, the Midrashim say, was born of the ram of the Akedas Yitzchak. So that's the connection between Yitzchak and Shavuos. And by Yaakov Avinu it says that he made sukkahs, by Yaakov Sukkos, and he made sukkahs for his behemoths, so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people a Yom Tov of sukkahs. So some Rishonim have this, Rabbeinu Techaya, and the Torah quotes of they must have had this from some common earlier source. We don't know exactly what it is. That earlier in the history of the Jews, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated 12 Yamim Tevim, namely the 12 Rosh HaKadoshim, somehow Chuvin Keneged, the 12 Shvatim, the children of Yaakov Avinu. Our Yaakov Avinu had a 13th child. He had a daughter, Dina. So that's why we have sometimes 13 Rosh HaKadoshim. We have a Shnasa Ibur. Dina couldn't really be counted as a separate Shevet because she would disappear, because when you have a man marries a woman from a different tribe, so the children all follow the father's tribe. So the Shevet Dina is going to have to disappear. But theoretically, there should have been 13 Shvatim. So that's what these Rishonim say. The Ribono Shel Olam really wanted to have 12 or 13 Yamim Tovim scattered out during the year. So that's why he set up these 12 or 13 Rosh HaKadosh. But this other version has it that originally these 12 or 13 Yamim Tovim existed for everybody. That no one should do any Malacha on these 12 or 13 Rosh HaKadosh. But then when the people sinned with the Chet Ha'Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away this yantar from the men. The women who didn't sin, not that they were given a bonus, they were given extra yantar, they remained with this yantar that was always there before the Chet Ha'Egel. The other version that we're showing. And others give different versions as to why Rosh Chodesh should be a yantar for women. Different traditions. Gemara seems to be talking about the men, right? That's the obvious difficulty in the Rashi. How does Gemara say that there's no problem with people malachim because the women don't go to work? Talking about the men, I don't know. 11th, final aspect of Rosh Chodesh, what the Pasuk tells us at the end of the Sefer Yeshaya, for Lossi Lover. Novi tells us, V'hoyomi de Chodesh b'chotshem, de Shabbos b'shabbat, yavokol basol l'shtachos l'fonai, Amar Hashem, the very end of the Novi Yeshaya. So the Yalkut Shimoni points out that the simple reading of the Pasuk seems to imply, yavokol basol l'shtachos means that the people will be oyle rega. All of the Jewish people will come to visit the Beis HaMikdash and bow down in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we know the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel only applies on Pesach Shvat. How does the Pasuk say, V'hayom Midei Chodesh B'chodshoi, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatah? Shabbos B'Shabbatah means Yontif. It's every Yontif. Like it says, Mimachras HaShabbos, you count Sphere, it means the day after Yontif. So Yontif, that you're Aliyah L'Regel on Yamim Tovim, Lo Sid Lover, that we understand. What do you mean you're Aliyah L'Regel on Rosh HaKadosh? So the Medrash and the Yalkut Shimoni mentions the following, that the Jewish people all the years that were sitting here in Golis for so many years cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every Shabbos and every Yontif and every Rosh Chodesh, we should give us a Beis HaMikdash, give us the opportunity to bring Karbonos, give us the opportunity to be Olei Regel. And we missed a lot of Karbonos, we missed an awful lot of mitzvahs Ali Olei Regel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises the Jewish people that he's going to pay up all of those Ali Olei Regel that we weren't able to fulfill, all the Shalosh Regal and Pesach Shavuot Sukkos for all these thousands and 2,000 years that we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kindalach lo, Siglova, I'll give you extra, I'll pay up. Not only will you be able to be Oyle Regal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, but you'll be Chodesh B'Chodshi, every Rosh Chodesh, you'll have Ali Olei Regal. Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatai, every one of the Shalosh Regal, you'll also have Ali Olei Regal. This, of course, poses a serious problem. the Rambam considers as one of the Yud Gimel Ikorei Ho'emuna, one of the 13 basic principles of our religion, that the mitzvahs of Torah do not change. The only mitzvahs in the Torah that change are those that the Torah says are going to change, namely, the Ori Miklot. The Rambam writes there's only one mitzvah that's going to change, Limois HaMashiach. The Chumash says that you have to have six Ori Miklot, three in Eretz Yisrael, three in Eivar Yarden. The Pasuk says in Chumash Dvorim, Ki Yachav Hashem HaTechos Gevulcho, Kasher Dibolach, when we relied on Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, and Eretz Yisrael will not only be the Eretz Zion Amimim, it'll be the Eretz of the Asura Amimim, the land of the 10 nations that was originally promised to Avraham Avinu, then we'll have to have another 3 Ori Miklot. What are we going to need Ori Miklot for? Are we going to summon the murderers around? That's a question. But the Chumash says that Lasid Lovili, Mois HaMashiach, will have to add on another 3 Ori Miklot. So the Rambam says that's the one and only mitzvah that's going to change the Mois HaMashiach. Know what the Dinah will change. How can the Novi, how can the Yalkut Shimoni interpret the Novi as saying that Lasi Lovoi, we will have Aliyah LeRegel on Rosh HaChodoshim? So perhaps what you have to add on is the following, that this is not really such a major change. True, we never had such an obligation in the past to be Oleh LeRegel on Rosh HaChodoshim, but perhaps there always was such a Kiyama mitzvah. Let's say if a person will be Oleh LeRegel on Tu B'Shvat, will be Oleh LeRegel on Chanukah, but that's not a mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. But what about years ago, before B'Hoyo Midei Chodesh B'Chodesh, before Yemos HaMashiach, what if a person will choose, volunteer to be Oleh LeRegel every Rosh Chodesh? Will it be a partial, will it be a Kiyama mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah Kiyum Misana? So it would appear from a Pasuk, say from Malachim, that this was always a Kiyama mitzvah. It's not that the mitzvah will be Neschadish Lemois HaMashiach. It was always a voluntary mitzvah. Pasuk tells us that Novi, Elisha HaNovi, gave a bracha to the Isha HaShunamis, the evident children after being married for many years, and she had a baby. Then the baby died. The baby had a heat stroke, went to the field where the father had to work, and the baby died. And the mother of the baby was afraid to tell her husband what happened, so she packed up all of her things and she went on the chariot and she says she has to go see Elisha HaNavi. So the husband says, what's the matter? Why are you running to see the Navi? L'chodesh hayom v'loy Shabbos. Today's not Rosh Chodesh, not Shabbos. I mean, if it'll be Shabbos, he understands why she's going in a taxi. Shabbos in the Pasuk. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah asks, what does the Pasuk mean? So the Gemara says, we learn out from this Pasuk that it's a mitzvah to visit your Rebbe on Shalosh Regalim. Chayev Adam, l'akvot pnei rabbi, v'rega. Say the Rebbe on Shalosh Regalim. The Pasuk says, l'chodesh hayom v'loy Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon says, obviously the Gemara understood, Shabbos means, like this pasuk, V'hayim midei chodesh b'chodesh midei Shabbos b'shabbatai. Chodesh means Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos b'shabbat, it does mean Shabbos. Shabbos parashas Noach, Shabbos parashas Lech Lecha. Shabbos means Yom Tov, Shalosh Regalim. So the pasuk says, L'chodesh hayom v'lo Shabbos, why is she going to visit the Rebbe? Why is she going to visit the Elisha HaNavi, who is the Rebbe? So this Rosh Chodesh and Shinis Yom Tov. So you see, then on Yom Tov you have to visit the Rebbe. So you also, then on Rosh Chodesh you have to visit the Rebbe. Where does that come in? So Bemis, the commentaries on the Gemara point out, and there's a famous tshuva the Nodeh Yehuda about this, that the obligation to visit the Rebbe on Sholosh Regolim is related to the obligation to visit the Beis Hamikdash on Sholosh Regolim. And the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a Talmud has to stand up when his Rebbe walks into the shul, or when the Rebbe walks into the Beis HaMedrash, only once in the daytime and once in the nighttime. He's not mechuyev to stand up every time the Rebbe comes into shul, a few times in the day. Because we're not obligated to be mechabed the Rebbe more than we're obligated to be mechabed the Rebbeinu Shlom himself. So the Rebbeinu Shlom are mechabed twice a day. You say Kriya Shema, Pledge of Allegiance, once in the daytime, once at nighttime. You dab a shabbat, dab a mayer. So you're only obligated, and some Rishonim say you're only permitted, two versions in the Gemara. You're only obligated, you're only permitted, stand up for the Rebbe once in the daytime and once in the nighttime. So Rabbi Yehuda says, there seems to be a parallel and a relationship between visiting the Rebbe and visiting the Beis HaMikdash. There is a chiyuv to be Oleh Regel three times a year. So the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that it's proper to visit the Rebbe also those three times a year, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. And Rabbi Yehuda claims that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when we're not visiting the Rebbeinu Shlom three times a year, so he doesn't think that there's a mitzvah in HaTorah anymore to visit the Rebbe. He thinks that the whole institution of visiting the Rebbe on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot today, it's only with the Rabbanim. He says, how can it be min HaTorah? You have to be mechabed the Rebbe more than mechabed the Shechina. We're not visiting the Shechina, so how can you say you have to visit the Rebbe? That's his famous truth. So the Yom Tov is, let's say, a few days Yom Tov. Shavuos is one day. So you don't have to, Rebbe has to be in Yerushalayim. But Pesach and Sukkot is long. So you visit Yerushalayim one another. So the if you take this klal of the Nedid Yehuda, so it would appear that the Isha HaShunam, this Mr. Shunam, her husband told her, L'chodesh hayayim v'loy Shabbos, why are you going to visit the Rebbe? Hain t'nish v'shchodesh and shinis Yom Tov. So it would appear that there is an Indian to visit the Rebbe not only on Shalosh Regalim, but to visit the Rebbe on Rosh Chodesh as well. Why? Apparently there is an Indian to visit the Beis HaMikdash, to visit the Shechina, not only on Shalosh Regalim, but the visit on Rosh Chodeshim as well. We never found such a mitzvah. There is no chiyuv. True, there is no obligation, but there is a mitzvah sarashus. If one would be oyla regel on Tu Bishvat or on Chanukah and Purim, there wouldn't be a kima mitzvah at all. But if one would be oyla regel on Rosh Chodeshim, there would be a partial kima mitzvah. So the Medrash tells us that Lasi Lavoi, Jewish people will be consoled. You were crying all the years that you didn't have the opportunity to be oyla regel on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. So make up for it now. Seize that opportunity that you always had. This mancha beis hamikdash, this man beis rishon, and bye bye sheni. There was always an optional mitzvah being oyla regel on Rosh Chodeshim. So now seize the opportunity and be oyla regel every Rosh Chodesh.
In fact, obligated.
No, the women were never obligated.
So why
to eat.
Why was Pinoch?
That's what her husband said. Today is not Rosh Chodesh and today is not Yom Tov. That's what he said. What's she going for? And she didn't want to say that the baby died, that she wanted to. Right, the women. Pesach Shavuot Sukkot is also the women went. Practice, all the women went, but strictly speaking, are they obligated to go? No? Like the women are not obligated to sit in Sukkah either, but do they sit in Sukkah? Do the women do sit in the Sukkah? Do the women do bench Esrei? Do the women do listen to the Tekiyah? They're not obligated. So here also, the actual obligation of Aliyah LeRegel is only on the men. Yiroi Kol Zechorchem. The women are not obligated. But certainly the women used to volunteer to visit the Beis HaMikdash, to fulfill this mitzvah of Aliyah LeRegel. It's interesting, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells a story that Eliyahu HaNavi, strange story, Eliyahu HaNavi used to always visit the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and learn with the Talmidim. But once on Rosh Chodesh he came late. So when he came, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi asked him, how come he came late? He said, every Rosh Chodesh, he has to go to Maros HaMachpelah, he has to get up the Avos, to wake up Avraham Avinu, wash his hands, Negel Vasa, daven with him, and put him back to sleep. To wake up Yitzchak, wash Negel Vasa, wash his hands, because the Maharsho explains, Tzadikim im yisoh sam kruim chayim. That Tzadik, even when he's dead, is considered as if he's alive. It's not that he's dead. So bring him back to life, it's as if he's waking up in the morning, and he washes his hands like we wash our hands when we wake up. Gemara seems to be blind. And he wakes up Yankov Avinu, washes his hands, he davens with him, and he puts him back to sleep. That day, he had a daven with Avram, Yitzchak Yankov, Avram Shchodesh, and it took so long, that's why he's late. The Rebbe asks him, why couldn't you wake them all up at the same time? Daven once with everybody. So he said, no, if they'll all daven at the same time, they'll daven that the Rebbe Shalom should bring Mashiach, and I'll have to bring Mashiach, and the Rebbe Shalom doesn't want. So that's why the Rebbe Shalom doesn't want me to wake up all three at the same time. Since they don't all daven together, when you daven in Sidur, everybody all together, so the tefillah stand a better chance of being answered. So he said, Baruch Shalom doesn't want to bring Mashiach yet, so he told me I should only wake up Avram separately, Yitzchak separately, and Yankov separately. So the Maharsho comments on that Gemara. What kind of an inyan is this? The Gemara, it's a strange story, we don't know what pshat is. But something we can derive from the story, so the Maharsho says it would appear from the Gemara, that there is an inyan of Aliyah LaRegel on every Jewish person on Rosh Chodesh, and even the neshamas of the niftarim, of the tzaddikim, of Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, who are no longer alive, they also have an Aliyah LaRegel. All month long, they don't daven in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Rosh Chodesh, they daven. And the Maharsho quotes this pasuk, V'hoi mei lechodesh b'chodesh mei shabbos b'shabbat ha'yov ha'kol basa v'shtachos l'fonai. So he derives from that pasuk that there seems to be an institution of Aliyah LaRegel on Rosh Chodesh. So that's what the Medrash says, that Lasi Lavoi, we will all seize that opportunity and make up for all of the Aliyah LaRegel that we missed, all of the years of the Golus, being Aliyah LaRegel on. These are the 11 aspects of Pi Halacha and Al Pi Minhag observed on.